Sky Sports Radio, Chief Steward Ray Murray, he joined me, and I thought, it's interesting, we've seen more cases of drugs in horses, unfortunately, ice, and there are a few others starting to creep in now, embalming fluid and xenon gas, mentions of those and things like that, which I think is a real worry. Ray, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Sean. Yeah, changing landscape, isn't it?
It is.
Some of the ones you mentioned, a bit old hat, and there's always something being introduced by the chemist.
Ray, the worry is now, we've seen a couple of instances where people involved in the industry have tested positive to drugs, and unfortunately to the one they call the devil's medicine, ice, which is an evil bit of work. What I find as a worry is if someone gets on that, they're probably liable to give a horse anything.
Yeah, look, methamphetamine and amphetamine have been around for a long time, ice is just, the nasty cousin, really. It's very addictive. It's only a matter of weeks. You can see, actually, the people who are on it change physically, and it's just a scourge of society. We've tested now for, I suppose, over 20 years for drugs, with riders firstly, and then with stable hands, and more recently with what we call horse handlers, which include anyone that touches a horse, a trainer, a barrier attendant or whatever. But ice just adds another equation to the concern of this. People refer to them as social drugs. They're not social drugs, Sean, they're illegal drugs. Mm.
Ray, we're even seeing, and they said, I think David Hayes is doing his own, in Victoria, his own testing. He's come out and said he does it at random and just surprises staff and says, righto, line them up, and they get tested. Is this something you're going to see more and more of, that people, trainers are voluntarily just going to say, hey, we'll do it ourselves, we want to try and police the industry as well?
Look, I know some trainers. I know Gay Waterhouse was one. She was involved back, I think it was in 2005, with that cocaine positive for Love Your Honey, where we found a stable hand had been out and been involved with the drug. There are work testing kits that are used, and look, in the mining industry, even in train drivers, bus drivers, they all undergo those sort of tests. But it seems a sad reflection that you consider it. I know we've suggested, when there's been issues of bringing in measures like ensuring staff, biosecurity measures, ensuring staff wash their hands before they report on. So if they were out the night before and some way had exposure to these drugs, that even if they weren't using them themselves, that they can't be passed on when they put the tongue tie on a horse or a bit in the horse's mouth, etc.
Incredible thing is, you probably don't need that much of it to get in there to return a positive.
No, it probably doesn't take much to have an effect either.
Yeah.
So all those things are difficult. We've had a couple of recent cases, and of course one now involving trainer John McNair, which is standing adjourned, so I can't say a lot about, but the Griffiths one was a case in point. The matters that you raised, that we found the trainer had some particular issues himself, which were of concern and which Racing New South Wales are endeavouring to help address. Unfortunately, he's lost his licence for 4 or 5 years in total out of the whole affair, but in the meantime, 3 horses tested positive.
Mentioned formaldehyde, xenon gas. Are you constantly finding it's like, let's try and beat the system? What else can we find to inject or give a horse drenching with?
Look, Sean, I'm sure it's not changed a lot. That 98% of the industry are very dedicated towards getting their horse the fittest it can be, and studying the catalogue and buying the best horse. But there'll be always someone that pushes the barrow, and there tends to be a disturbing trend of substances that are used, particularly around North American harness racing, that filtrate through to to other codes here in Australia and then to thoroughbred racing. So I don't know necessarily that it's a New South Wales or a Victorian or a Queensland trainer being inventive. I think those experiences invariably are coming from other countries, and the internet's changed so much. I'm just in the latest calendar warned trainers again that the stewards are going to significantly increase penalties when we find substances in their stables that aren't registered and prescribed. It's too easy to purchase something over the internet and then shrug your shoulders and say, "Oh, I didn't know that was in it," or "I did." Well, of course, a lot of the substances, well, nearly all of them, are not registered, and there's no quality control. It's a very risky exercise, and stewards are losing a bit of patience as the number of times they see trainers have things in their stables that they shouldn't have.
Now, Ray, we've got some cases before the stewards at the moment, but the invisible day and the dogs are barking that there could be more cobalts to come forward, more cobalt swabs to come forward. Is there any justification?
We said when we got through the Smith process that we'd look back through a myriad of stored samples, and we said that we would then announce whatever the further issues there were. So the Smith appeal to the RAT isn't far away now. It's middle of next month. So, look, it's been a long process. I'd have to say it's just taken so much of my time and the steward's time. Mark Van Gessel and myself have probably been two, and Greg Rudolph was on the Smith case, that just so much of your time devoted to those particular matters. And, you know, in the meantime, we're trying to run 800-odd race meetings a year in New South Wales and do everything else. So it's been a long, hard drag, and we'd like to put all these matters to bed and hope that there's not too much in the future. But the industry being as it is, we're not dealing the cards, Sean. So when we pick them up, we've got to handle them as best we can.
That was a good politician's answer, eh? Have we got more on the horizon or not?
That was the answer you got.
Yeah, right. Okay. Appreciate your time this morning. We'll watch this space.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Ray. Ray Murray, Chief Steward, joining us there. And I'd suggest watch this space, definitely. 26 past 9 at Sky Sports Radio. I must wonder how he felt in the top hat and tails at Royal Ascot. David Hayes is back from England, joins now. Morning, David.
Morning, Sean.
It must have been an incredible experience to go over there.
It was a really, without winning, it was a really enjoyable experience. He ran to nearly his best form, and he just over-raced a bit in the middle stages, probably cost him running a place, I think.
I thought your analogy was a beauty when you basically said it was almost like going to the Cox Plate of England and Europe, almost.
Yeah, it was. Basically, our horse is a national champion, high-class national, but he ran in the Olympics and was very competitive.
I thought Chad Schofield gave him every chance. He saved every inch of ground and probably couldn't have done any more.
No, Chad rode him beautifully. I just feel that if the horse in the middle stages been a bit fresh, long time between runs, I think he'll be improved by the run. He just over-raced a little bit. And he showed me that he can run in those races and he'd be very competitive. And if it rained, I think he could be running.
David, I saw a report where you were actually looking at maybe going to Goodwood, I think, on the 29th of July for the 1600-metre or the mile Sussex Stakes there.
Yeah, no, we've changed our plan. We're heading towards a race called the Jugmont International.
Yeah.
We just wanted to give the horse a three-week break in the English summer. The weather's beautiful there at the moment, and I found a lovely property in Newmarket, just to let him get a bit of sun on his back and have a bit of a freshen up. And so we could do that better if he wasn't running in the Sussex. And then we've got 2 months to build him up for the Jugmont. Then he's got a couple of weeks before he goes into quarantine, and he'll be here for the Caulfield Stakes, Cox Plate, double. That's what he's been set for. So it'll be Jugmont, Caulfield Stakes, Cox Plate.
Is that other race over a mile as well?
No, England? Jugmont's 2,000.
2,000 again.
So he's going to race at his set distance.
Yep.
And he's going to hold a Melbourne Cup entry. And Sir Owen's keen to run in the Melbourne Cup if the horse is in form and we feel that he can run the 2 miles. So I was very keen to get a good 2,000 metre run into him in August and bring him out with the international horses.
David, you've travelled horses in the past to Hong Kong and all over the place. Was it much different going to England?
No. Newmarket's such a wonderful place to train a horse. And we were staying with John Gosden, my son, the pupil assistant there at the moment. Mm-hmm. And we really had an enjoyable couple of weeks with the horse. I must say I was pleased to get home. I was training one horse there and got 150-odd here. So, it was really easy, and John Gosden was very, very kind.
Every trainer I speak to, I say to them, what about the gallops over there at Newmarket and those places? And they all go, oh. And then I won't say that to you because you're in the park and you've got your rower. It's like saying, compare theirs to yours.
Yeah, well, Newmarket's, there are more gallops, but we're based on a Newmarket setup. Our setup's designed that. But Newmarket trains 3,500 horses, and we train 150, so we don't need the vast array of gallops, but probably per horse we have more options.
It's incredible when you see those. You look and you think horses could work on ground there that almost hasn't had a hoof on it for 12 months.
Yeah, I know. But what happens, a lot of it's unwatered ground.
Mm-hmm.
So when the ground's firm, they don't work on it. They work on all the artificial surfaces.
Yep.
So it's a bit like a ski resort when they're not getting snow.
Ah, fair enough.
So it's when they get a bit of weather and it's not too wet and the conditions are right, there are so many options, you wouldn't know what to do. But quite often, no one was using the grass tracks when I was there because it was so firm.
Now, every time you go away, you probably learn something and think, gee, I'll implement that back home. Was there anything at all this time you picked up?
It's funny you say that. I was because I had the time, I was really, and I was in a privileged position of spending time with John Gosden. He's the leading trainer in England at the moment, trained at Quinella and the English Derby. And I really feel that the way they develop their stayers is quite different than the way we do. And I'm going to implement a bit of his staying mantra into my training over the next 6 months. So, because I've got the facility to do it, and I really am keen to do that.
What is it that you notice, David? Their horses look like they carry their stayers, like they carry more condition than ours.
Look, they do a lot more. Their slow work is a lot harder than our slow work, and they do a lot less fast work. So it's too hard to explain, but it is quite different.
Now, the other thing is you've got racing at Pakenham. You and Tom Davening have had a terrific run of late. The new synthetic track at Pakenham, they're there today. I think they're back there tomorrow. What are your thoughts on it?
I just think it's fantastic. Look, at this time of year, the grass tracks are very inconsistent. They're okay. A couple of city tracks are very good, but a lot of these provincial grass tracks need a lot of money spent on them, and they just simply don't cope with winter racing. So these are wonderful options to have. This Pakenham, wonderful shape, great track, and Geelong, we love the surface. Just wish it was on the outside of Geelong, not the inside.
Yeah. Make it easier for you. Yeah. And also, yeah, as you said, because you've got no chutes and you're restricted with distances, aren't they?
Yeah, it jumps from 1,300 to 1,900.
Yeah.
So, I think there's room in Victoria for one more artificial track, maybe in the northeast, and then all the sections of Victoria are covered, and when it's too wet, they can just switch to them. Would be a great idea, I think.
David, just had Ray Murray here, Chief Steward, on, and we're talking about the situation with a few horses and humans testing positive twice. I saw a report recently where you conduct your own random testing of your staff, just bowl up and say, righto, blow in the bag or whatever.
Yeah, we've been doing it for a couple of years. The fear for all trainers is that you have someone working for you that's been on ice and becomes very erratic and inconsistent. Handling a $1 million horse. It's just a no-no. And the fear of innocent contamination, which what I mean is if they have a leak in the box and the horse chews on whatever they leaked on or licked it, you can get your positive that way. So, look, you can't guarantee you're stopping it, but you're giving yourself the best chance not to get a positive.
Suppose the other thing, aside from horses, the last thing you want is some clown riding a horse work, whose judgment is affected as well.
Well, the problem with ice, it doesn't encourage, but it incites very erratic behaviour. And one thing with animals or horses, it's not good to have erratic people around your horses.
Have you had any who've tested positive and you just said, there's the gate?
No, we've been really lucky. And there's been no one. We had one person have a cannabis IV and they got one warning and they haven't had another one.
Yeah, that's fair enough too, isn't it? As you said, it's not only the horse and the whole, but it's the human aspect as well.
Yeah, well, cannabis is one thing, but ice is another.
It's a whole different league.
They're two different. Totally different.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the experience at Royal Ascot. Did you top? You had to wear the top hat and tails.
Yes, I really quite enjoyed it actually. For saddling a horse up in my top hat and tails, I had a real buzz out of it. I recommend to any trainer or owner, if you've got a horse good enough, give it a go. It's fantastic.
Well, terrific. David, appreciate your time this morning. We always do. And good luck over the next couple of days. See you get a couple in there packing them.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks a lot. David Hayes joining us there, back from Royal Ascot and Criterion. Paul King has been flying of late. He's the man who put a mask on and got out in front by about 30 lengths the other day down and just kept going. Morning, Paul. How are you?
Morning, Sean.
Congratulations. You're having a good run at the moment.
Yeah, no, things are falling into place quite nice and getting plenty of support, so that always helps.
I'm just trying to think. I remember when you first came over from the West, we had a chat and said, good luck. And that must be, what, 18 months, 2 years ago?
About 18 months ago now. So, things have been steadily improving. And it helps when you get support from good trainers. So, obviously, you've got to go and still do the job. So, if you're not riding winners, people don't want to know you. But, it's been good at the moment.
Yeah, well, and as you said, you're getting rides for good trainers. Gay Waterhouse putting you on, all sorts of people.
Yeah, no, it's good. Gay's been a very good supporter and, quite a lot of the trainers as well. So, it's nice to get on some nice horses and, get them across the line.
All right. Now, you're riding Mossy's Day for Kristen Buchanan in the second today. It's only had the one run?
Yeah, look, she was disappointing the other day. Barrow trials were actually quite good. We thought she'd run a nice race and, unfortunately, we decided to ride her up on the speed as she's shown pace in her trials, and she pulled up with a couple of speedy cuts on her hind legs, and I think just on the shifting track underneath the other day, it just didn't suit her. So Chris and I have decided that we'll probably ride her a bit patient, just get her nice and balanced, and just let her click through her gears throughout the run, hoping to see a better run from her today. Riding her that way. I suppose if she doesn't, we'll have to reassess after this.
Right, you're on another one. It's only had the one start too for Jan Bowen, exit only, baby in the second.
Yeah, I don't know much about this. I haven't ridden her at any stage of her career, so obviously she's a little bit new to me, but Jan will give me a good rundown of what she thinks of it and how she thinks it'll go. So I'm hoping for a forward showing from it, but we'll wait and see.
All right, Gay Waterhouse has put you on Prince Morpheus in race four. First
up. I rode this horse last preparation for Gay at Canterbury. He's a big immature type of horse that last preparation, and he seems to have matured a bit more this time around. I think he'll run a nice race, but obviously it gives me an indication that he's probably going to be better suited when he steps over a bit further.
Now, Triple Hero on the sixth, while its form probably doesn't read that well, it hasn't been getting beaten that much.
No, it hasn't, no. I thought this might be a bit of a smoky today. I thought, might be some hope of filling a hole somewhere. So, sort of see how it fares.
Now, you are riding for one of the greatest characters in racing in race seven, the Reverend Evan Holland. You've got Al Caban. What a great man he is.
He is. He's a good bloke. Evan, this horse is... I rode this horse first up. I thought it was a really good run first up this preparation. Haven't been on its back since, and ran a really good race, I thought, the other day, running second. It's drawn a nice gate. It's on the minimum. Probably up to a trip that's going to suit this horse a bit better. There's going to be speed in the race, which will suit it. It'll be getting back and probably look for a bit of room up the straight, but I'm pretty pleased to be riding the Reverend's horse today.
Yes. Now, in the eighth, nice northern meteor you won on last start for Go Waterhouse, Meteor Storm.
Yeah, look, it was a really tenacious win by the horse the other day, Kembler. You know, sort of jumped out, went forward, and then Graham Buckley Road sort of challenged me pretty early in the straight, got past my mount, and I thought he really fought hard to the line. It was a very good win. Expect the horse to improve off that first up run. He hasn't gone backwards in his work at home. He's really bright as a button, and I'd suggest he's probably my best ride for the day.
All right, wrap it up for one for Jeremy Sylvester, Reunite.
Yeah, I don't know much about this one either. Jeremy's got two in the race, obviously RT's on the other one, and Jeremy will probably be able to sort of give me some indication of how he thinks it'll go. Obviously, its last run was probably disappointing on paper. I'm not sure what the excuses were for it, but you know, I mean, it did win four starts ago. Admittedly, Cessnock, but you know, plenty of horses can win at Cessnock and win at Wyong, so we'll just wait and see what Jeremy has to say.
All right. What do you pick today, Paul? What do you reckon?
Oh, look, I'd say the Gay Waterhouse trained Meteor Storm's my best. You know, I think he'll improve off that, and probably will only get better throughout his whole preparation. He's a nice, stylish looking colt, and he's got the Gay polish on it.
Terrific. Well, good luck today. Good to catch up with you, Paul.
Much appreciated, Sean.
Thanks, Paul. Paul King riding today at Wyong there. Now, it is 21 to 10, Sky Sports Radio. Kurt Goldman took a nice horse to the races yesterday. Two-year-old by I Am Invincible out of a, looks like a Volksgrad mare in Volkspray. Had a couple of trials, one went up to him at Warwick Farm before he produced it. And the male is, Kurt, was very, very toey before the races yesterday. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning. How are you going?
I'm good. Is that true? You looked as though you were walking the box a little bit.
Yeah, look, you could say I was a little bit on edge. You know, it's just sort of been a long time coming with this horse. We sort of trialled him earlier in the year, and yeah, we had a very good opinion of him, so we put him away and did the right thing by the horse. Brought him back this time and gave him two trials in Sydney just for the experience of the travel and everything, you know, to try and emulate what race day was going to be like. And the horse went there yesterday, composed himself in a very professional manner, and got the job done. So it was great.
Now, it was interesting you were prepared to take them on a heavy eight first up.
Yeah, look, I left all the tactics up to Hugh yesterday. You know, in my opinion, I felt that we had the best horse in the race, and I said that to Hugh as soon as he came out of the room. I said, you're on the best horse. I think you should ride him like it. And I think the decision was made out of the gates when Hugh decided to go forward. You know, that probably helped a little bit. It kept the second favourite posted three wide, and which could have quite easily been us. Had the race panned out a different way. Yeah, but the horse, you know, and it was probably a better effort than what it even looked, because he hit the front at the top of the straight very early, and he did get a little bit lost, and he didn't sort of find again until the horse came up to his flank, and, you know, he sort of seemed to kick into gear just before the line again. So it was a pretty good effort.
Kurt, he looks as though, on television, he looked a big solid sort of bloke, so he's not tiny.
No, look, he's not. I think he presents himself very, very well. You know, he's not overly big. You know, he's not heavy for a colt. You know, he's quite athletic. He's not too heavy or anything like that. But he walks around very proud. He carries himself very well. You know, so it probably makes him look a little bit bigger than what he is.
Now, to have one good enough to bring to town first start and win like that, I suppose you do go home and you look and think, where's the calendar?
Yeah, look, we've been going through that, you know, early this morning. You know, I sort of sat down and in the back of my mind I had a plan, and I think I'm going to sort of stick to that. At this stage, the horse will go out now just for a short break, and we may try and sort of target some races come September, something like the Heritage Stakes or something like that, and see if he's good enough to then go down to Melbourne at the back end of spring.
You can get greedy sometimes, can't you?
You can. But look, you know, this horse has obviously got a lot of potential. You know, he wasn't screwed down yesterday by any means. You know, he's still got plenty of improvement left in him. You know, so it was more just about giving the horse a good experience. He did get a little bit jig-joggy behind the gates, which he hadn't done at his trials. So it may just be an indication that, you know, he has had enough. I wouldn't want to take him back to the races and you know, sort of cook him and have him go over the top just this early on in his preparation, in his career. So, yeah, I think the best thing for the horse now is just to go out and have a good think about it. He's done everything that we've expected. He's got the win under his belt as a two-year-old, and I think, you know, if he goes out now, he'll be back ready. And, look, I'm not saying he'll measure up to Spring Carnival, but we're going to definitely give him every chance to prove to us that he may end up there.
All right. And finally, Kurt, as an owner, said to you, oh, Brazen Bows, why, I'm invincible. And he was at Royal Ascot. When are we going?
Yeah. Look, I think he actually won his first start at Canterbury as well. But, yeah. Look, we'll just take it week by week, and, you know, we'll let the horse tell us where he's fit to go.
Well, terrific. Good on you, Kurt. Congratulations, and a nice win yesterday. Let's hope he stays intact for you.
No problems. Thanks, John.
Thanks a lot, Kurt. Kurt Goldman there. It's 16 to 10 at Sky Sports Radio. Now, we've got racing today at Wyong, the big day there, the Give Me Five Charity Day. Darren Findell is about to join us and give us a winner for the meeting there today at 16 to 10. I think he might be there. No, he's not. All right, we'll go to Darren shortly. 16 to 10, Sky Sports Radio.